Support for the Marketplace Morning Report podcast provided by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, online at shrm.org.
The fee for the American dream.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Every year, the U.S. government processes 730,000 applications for citizenship. Each one of those applicants pays $330. But the feds want to raise that fee to almost $600. That's not sitting well with immigrant rights groups. Here's John Dimsdale.
Citizenship and Immigration Services is proposing several fee increases that would generate $2 billion over the next 2 years to pay for speedier processing of applications. Fred Sow of the Illinois Coalition for Immigrants and Refugee Rights says applicants shouldn't be footing the whole bill.
If we value citizenship and if we value the national security benefits that come from a lot of these infrastructure costs, then we should be underwriting part of that cost because it benefits all of us.
But the top Republican on the House Judiciary Committee, Lamar Smith of Texas, says those who benefit should pay, not taxpayers.
It's cheap for the price, to tell you the truth. There are millions of people around the world who would pay a lot more to become a citizen.
The government is soliciting public comment on the fee increase proposal for the next 2 months. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
We haven't heard much about bird flu lately. That's a good thing. But there's been an outbreak on a poultry farm in Britain now. Our man in London, Stephen Beard, is with us. Stephen, what happened?
Some 2,000 turkeys died on a factory farm in the east of England, and the British government ordered then the destruction of 160,000 turkeys. Also, 2,000 people work at this facility. 100 of those have now been given Tamiflu, the antiviral agent.
What's been the reaction in Britain to this outbreak?
Well, obviously, the biggest fear is the one that we all have, that H5N1 will combine with human flu, will create a strain that causes a devastating pandemic. More immediately, though, the concerns are economic.
Economic. Now, what might that impact be?
Well, the first effect is likely to be on Britain's poultry export trade. Already, Japan has suspended imports of British birds, and it is feared that many other countries could follow suit. And this would hit a trade that's worth about $750 million a year. Beyond that, there is an even bigger economic concern, and that is that this could hit confidence in the domestic poultry market. And we'd be talking here not just about turkeys, but also chickens and perhaps even eggs, a market worth $7 billion a year.
Okay, Stephen, thank you.
Okay, Scott.
Our European correspondent, Stephen Beard, in London. Wall Street had a pretty darn good week. The Dow gained almost 1.5%. It starts out this morning at 12,653. The Nasdaq's at 2475. The S&P 500 at 1448. Both indexes added more than 1.5% as well.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
The main reason Wall Street had such a strong performance was word from the Fed. It hinted that interest rates will probably stay put for a while. Newsweek's Alan Sloan believes one of the Fed's hidden agendas is protecting the dollar.
Every time you hear that the Fed may lower short-term rates, which, of course, hasn't happened, you see the dollar weakening. I think there's huge pressure on the Fed to keep short-term interest rates up in the U.S. to support the currency, to help cover the trade and in some cases, the budget, the federal budget deficit.
Who's putting pressure on the Fed to prop up the dollar?
The world is. If you look at what's going on in the world and you see how much our merchandise deficit is and how much money we're borrowing from overseas, you could see, if you were the Fed, you'd really care about the dollar.
Alan, what's the argument for letting the dollar weaken a little bit?
The theory is that if the dollar weakens, imports into the U.S. would become more expensive in terms of dollars, so we might, you know, have less of them, and exports to the rest of the world in terms of dollars would be cheaper, so we might export more. The trade deficit we have would narrow as a result of the dollar declining.
Okay, lower trade deficit, more exports. That sounds like a good thing.
Well, it would be a good thing except if you lowered short-term interest rates in the United States, the dollar would weaken. You don't want to set off a stampede where everybody, you know, and his brother and sister and hedge fund is trying to get out of the dollar.
So you think the Fed is doing the right thing here by propping up the dollar?
I think it's the right thing. They don't admit they're doing this, by the way, Scott.
Right, I know.
Because even under the new administration with Mr. Bernanke, where they speak a language approaching English, as opposed to Alan Greenspan, who had his own unique form of the language, you know, they don't speak like you and I speak. You still want to keep some mystery about what you're doing because you don't want traitors to, you know, front run the U.S. government. That'd be a bad thing, I think.
Alan Sloan, the Wall Street editor for Newsweek magazine. Toyota's holding nothing back in its bid to win over America's heartland. Toyota unveils its new full-size pickup this month, a revamped version of the Tundra. And Camrys will start racing full-time on the NASCAR circuit. Scott Graff has more from Charlotte.
Strong sales have provided Toyota with plenty of money for sponsorships, and typically race teams get some technological help from their domestic car manufacturer, but Toyota is providing substantially more. One of the more outspoken critics of Toyota is current team owner Jack Roush. He says he's prepared to go to war with the Japanese company.
If they bring more money than other manufacturers and the other sponsors feel like they can come up with, well, then they bought their way in and they've taken advantage with their money.
But not everyone in NASCAR is displeased with Toyota coming on board. Team owners Rick Hendrick and Joe Gibbs say they welcome the new competition. In Charlotte, I'm Scott Graff for Marketplace.
Who's got the best coffee out there? Consumer Reports sent trained tasters to Starbucks, McDonald's, Burger King, and Dunkin' Donuts. They drank black coffee. And the winner is McDonald's. The taster said McDonald's coffee was moderately strong, but lacked the subtle top notes to make it rise and shine. Starbucks was second, but burnt and bitter enough to make your eyes water instead of open. Personally, I'm going with Dunkin'. Cream and sugar, please. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.